Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today is Friday, April 3rd, 2015. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, everyone, my goodness, this is kind of, I'll say, an anniversary for me. That's right. This is, I guess some people call it a blogversary, and the official day was really yesterday, but believe it or not, in 2009, what was that, 6 years ago? Wow, oh my God. Yes, well, that was when I started my very first podcast, so oh, I cannot believe it. Yes, the podcast is 6 years old. And are you aware that the African Roots Podcast is the longest running genealogy, continuously running genealogy podcast, actually in the genealogy community? I must say, it has been an amazing journey. I've had a lot of fun. And I can't believe I've been here 6 whole years. Oh my goodness. Anyway, it is an absolute pleasure to certainly be here and to be able to continue to come to you each week. It's just been tons and tons of fun. I've been able to share things with you. And the biggest honor for me is when I meet some of you, when I'm traveling, when I'm giving presentations, and someone will come up to me and say, oh, I listen to your podcast every week. I can only say thank you. Oh, my goodness. What a real thrill. And it has truly been an honor. I am willing to hear or take some suggestions for you since this is a sixth year. Oh, my gosh. You know, hey, maybe explore some things in a different way. I am going to be talking a lot about books as well. I had started out 6 years ago. I would occasionally give a book review here and there. And I think I am going to go back to some books as well. I have taken up, I guess, sort of my old passion for reading as well as writing, as some of you know, and have begun to just go back to the world of books. And as a genealogist, I have some favorite books in some of my collections, and some of which I was actually inspired to read because of my love of history, and of course my genealogical interest, and how individuals took their research and went with it and ended up publishing something based upon what they had researched or where their genealogy journey has taken them. Anyway, I will be reviewing a book a little bit later in this podcast as a result. Anyway, I hope that you all have been busy. Also, this is certainly a holy week for those of you who are going to be celebrating Easter in just 2 days. And I am hoping that you'll have a very, very special time and a very, very good one with family and with loved ones. So certainly happy Easter to everyone. And I know many of you are rushing off to Good Friday services as well today. So certainly blessings to everyone who is celebrating this very, very holy week. Anyway, other things that are going on. Yes, finally, I guess we can truly say that winter has passed. We're getting a lot of those, I'll say, winter showers. Did I say winter showers? I meant to say spring showers. Anyway, we are getting some here in the Mid-Atlantic, and I hope certainly you all are having, well, at least spring-like weather wherever you may be. There are some preparations that are underway in lots of places. I know that many individuals are getting ready, for various spring events. We're certainly looking forward to some events coming up in May. There are national conferences, state conferences as well. And I'm looking forward myself. I'm getting ready to travel in about a week and a half to Arkansas. So I'm really, really thrilled about that. And I'm hoping to have a very good experience there. I'll be speaking at a Civil War symposium. And we'll be speaking not about the war itself, but about freedom and how freedom came to Arkansas and how many lives were just the trajectory of their lives were forever changed. And really quite thrilled to be able to speak at the Arkansas Commission. It's just really, really exciting. I also know that also I've been asked to share a date with you, those of you in the Mid-Atlantic area. You are encouraged to save the date, the 13th of June in Forestville, Maryland, the 10th Juneteenth seminar. This is being, of course, presented by the Prince George's County Historical Society as well as the Prince George's County Chapter of OGS, the Afro-American Historical and Genealogical Society. So save the date if you're in the area, the 13th of June. It's an all-day event. They have lots of fun. I have always wanted to be able to go. I guess in the last 3 or 4 years, I have gone in the past, but in the recent years, it's always conflicting with a travel event that I have scheduled. But this event is free. This is something that is all day long. Their keynote speaker is going to be Char McCargo Baugh. Many of us know her. She is a very, very well-known researcher, genealogist, and author, historian, and it's just a great time. Anyway, keep your eyes open for more information when registration information will be available for that. So, but happy to pass that along to you. Also, for those of you who are collectors, and actually you might be a collector and not realize that you are, the National Black Memorabilia Fine Arts and Crafts Show is taking place actually next weekend. That's the 11th and 12th, and that's taking place in Montgomery County, Maryland, in Gaithersburg, Maryland. It's $7 admission. It's all-day event. I have gone to events, this event in particular, in the past. It's kind of an interesting thing. You might be a collector and not realize that you are. Now, some people are interested in various types of artifacts, historical documents. Others are interested in collecting autographs, dolls, books, toys, advertisements, all kinds of things. And then there's some amazing educational exhibits that are going on, slavery artifacts, even some from those terrible years of Jim Crow that many of us certainly lived through. But things pertaining to just various people who stand out in history, George Carver, Negro League Baseball, those of you who are interested in sports, just a fascinating kind of experience. And if you may be a bibliophile, a book lover, a collector, a great opportunity to add to your collection there as well. So many of you may think, well, I'm into this particular aspect of culture or crafting, but I wouldn't say I collect memorabilia. Well, maybe you really do and just don't realize it as well. So it's kind of fun. I would just say, hey, you may want to go and check it out. It's there's something for everyone at events such as this one. So go and check it out. It's next weekend in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Of course, I'm putting a link for you anyway on the podcast website. By the way, those of you, of course, have heard many of us talking about Roots Tech. You have a chance now to collectively see a lot of the videos featuring many of the people who were in attendance, particularly the African-American participants in the experience at in Salt Lake City 2 months ago. Well, I certainly encourage you to go and take a look now at Family Search. They have all of the interviews, most of which were conducted by Bernice Alexander Bennett, whom we all know from the Blog Talk Radio program that she hosts. She interviewed quite a few people last year at Roots Tech. I also did conduct one of the interviews as well, and I was in some of the other interviews. Anyway, I'm going to put a link for you there. I think what's important at something like Roots Tech, it's sort of a good overview in many ways of sort of the pulse of the genealogy community. It gives you certainly an overview of not just who was there, but in terms of what people are thinking. You had representatives from the societies, from OGS, from the National Vice President for Genealogy was present and was interviewed. And there were others who were newcomers and newcomers to the world of genealogy. One interview, very, very poignant one, Bernice interviewed one of the ladies based in Utah, Sisters of Zion, and who host the local program in their community, and who are new to the genealogy experience. And it was a very poignant one. And I just hope they'll be able to tune in and watch them. I'm going to embed, if I can, a video there, or certainly provide a link to that page on Family Search so you can take a look at those interviews. I think that you will find them to be just quite enlightening, and you may be inspired. Maybe you'll be inspired to even attend the event next year. Yes, it is in February, I know, and yes, it is in Salt Lake City in the winter, but I'm so glad that I was there. And so thrilled that I got a chance to just see as much as I did see. There was so much going on. Anyway, this is a chance to really tap into the community in a different kind of way. Now, as I say, tapping into the community, one of the ways in which I get a feeling of what is happening in the genealogy community is through social media. And of course, on social media, the most active community is on Facebook, but there's a vibrant one also on Twitter. But Facebook in particular, because there are quite a few African American groups that are genealogy focused, and they share such good information. The Afrogenius genealogical community is alive, it's active, and wonderful things you would never ever see. And sometimes the things that are shared can become really stimulation for you to write a story, perhaps on your blog, or to invest yourself or involve yourself, immerse yourself is the word I'm looking for, in a small research project. An example. There was an article that was shared by someone on Afrogenius, and I think her name was Sherry Onorati. I'm glad that she did post this. It was an article that she found from an old newspaper in 1860, and it talked about a group of people who arrived in New Orleans, and these people were enslaved, and they had abandoned a particular plantation, Oak Grove Plantation, 50 miles away. It named the estate James Shepherd, and they talked about how the fact that the overseer treated them just so terribly, which we know happened often, but treated them so cruelly, and they walked 50 miles through the woods, and how they just arrived. They were hungry, they were famished, and there was another, apparently after they had left Oak Grove, there was another group also joining them. They were also leaving. And I appreciated reading the story because it's one of those few stories of resistance. We know that there were acts of resistance that occurred, but they're not often spoken about. Or if they're spoken about, those who were resisting are often seen or spoken of as if they were the ones who were the offenders. And these are human beings just trying to live, trying to have the experiences in their lives a little less painful. And it's an amazing story. But what I like about it also, it's an opportunity for research. And the fact that here we are, we're talking about a group of people, 34 in number, who walked from a plantation 50 miles away to present themselves to others and say, no, we are not going to take what we have had to take. I'm hoping that some who may even have ancestors who came off of that estate will say, hey, let me research this more, whether or not my ancestors are on this plantation or not. Is secondary. What is primary is the story, their story of resistance, their story of strength. And, you know, 5 years later, they would be freed anyway. But, oh, my goodness, what an amazing story. They were at the point of breaking, and they just could not take it anymore. Amazing story and a great opportunity for someone who's a Louisiana researcher to dive in and tell that story. One of the advantages that I find with social media is that you get stories like that. And this person was reading, well, this article was 1860. It came out of a newspaper in Ohio. And this person looking for other things in Ohio comes up and has this story that certainly she could share with the community. It's just amazing to see. That to me is the value of social media. I have in the past even written articles myself that have emerged from articles that were shared online or in one of the communities. I urge you to explore them, take a look, join Afrogenius, the community, join OBA, Our Black Ancestry. It's one of the largest genealogy communities on Facebook. I mean, they have what? Close to, if not over 200,000 members. It is truly amazing. And there are oftentimes opportunities for people to post questions and get answers to them, particularly if you're at a brick wall place in your research and you're not necessarily sure of where to go and what to do next. It's a great opportunity to maybe get a little bit of guidance about that. So anyway, I hope that you will take advantage and go and take a look and see what you can find. It may get you started on another project. Not that you need another project, but you may find that something very, very stimulating can come out of that. Now, yes, I mentioned a book review. Well, I am thrilled to share with you, and the reason why I'm selecting this particular book to review is because it is, I'll say, indirectly related to one area of research that I have. Now, I'm talking about a book which is a novel, and it is called Cherokee Rose, a novel of gardens and ghosts. It's written by MacArthur fellow Taya Miles. Dr. Taya Miles, I met her years ago, gosh, 14 years ago at Dartmouth when she was a doctoral student, and she's really exploring an area in which many African Americans feel that they have, and she has certainly amazing experience in this area. Well, she's looking at slaveholding communities of Native Americans, particularly Creeks and Cherokees, and how the legacy of a relationship to these tribes with three women who are going back to this Georgia plantation. They all have different reasons to go back to this plantation. And she's very, very frank in her descriptions of things that happen, including some of the cruelty that was exhibited towards those enslaved people, and also some of the compassion that one might find that happened between some of the people who also lived on that estate. She's basing it loosely upon the history of Chief James Vann's house. Chief Vann House, of course, we know is in Chatsworth, Georgia, and there was a mission school that was there. And she has characters that, of course, resemble many of the characters that you see in the real history of the plantation, but they're fictionalized in her. This is her first novel, by the way. She's written two other amazing books that are historical books about the same thing. But what has been interesting is that she incorporated it. And the reason why I talk about it, and I'm mentioning this book, The Cherokee Rose by Taya Miles, is because primarily, as many of you know, I have Oklahoma roots, I have Indian Territory roots, and I have roots from the Choctaw Nation. My ancestors were freedmen, were once enslaved by Choctaws in Indian Territory. And my oldest ancestor whom I have identified is Kitty, who did travel from Mississippi, from Yalabusha, which is, of course, a Choctaw word, means yellow tadpole. And she traveled with the Perrys from Mississippi to Indian Territory. And Kitty is my oldest known ancestor. Well, as I continued to read and have a very strong commitment to telling the story of the freedmen of Indian Territory, it was really a treat to be able to read a story where at least one is getting a glimpse of life truly before removal. And this is what is particularly amazing. Many of us are beginning to explore the after arrival in the territory in the 1830s, but now we're getting a chance to look at what life was like on an Indian, really slave mansion. This is a prosperous Indian community, a prosperous Indian family. The main character, this is, of course, I think it's called the Jamons Hold Plantation, which we know is a fictionalized version of the James Van Plantation. And but this is a prominent family, a family of wealth. The in real life, the family of James Van, who eventually did also relocate to Indian Territory, was still a family of wealth. James Van's son, Rich Joe Van, was a very, very prominent man, and it was from his estate that the Great Slave Revolt of 1842 took place. So, but anyway, I digress. The story itself is well written. The three main characters are women whom we would all recognize. We recognize women who are professional women. We recognize women who write. We recognize women who come from various communities. And these three ladies, one, of course, feeling that she's deeply rooted to this plantation through Indian ancestry, another who is Creek, who's coming to do a little bit of research on her own, and another who's coming to write an article about it. All of them are centering around one central event, which is, of course, the selling of the estate. The estate was put up for auction, and now there was this effort to purchase it and then transform this place into something different. And it is quite an interesting read. You kind of go back from different time periods. These three young African American women, well, one is Creek and the others are connected also, not to each other necessarily, but definitely to the place. And one finds that, yes, she does have a tie to that estate, but not quite in the way that she had always assumed she had had. But nevertheless, it is a well-written story, one in which I think many of you with ties to Oklahoma, with even ties to just any part of the South or the Southeast, will find it amazing. I have to really just thank Taya for taking and writing this story. Now, many of her other works that she's written really go into the historical background of what really happened. Now, she has written The House on Diamond Hill, which is really the story of the James Van Plantation itself. If you're really looking for the historical basis upon which she based the novel, that's where you would get it. But this is something I'm really, I guess, will put it on my list of books that genealogists must read, particularly because it came from historical research. And we don't see enough stories where we're not anything beyond being victims. This is a different kind of story. And yes, The Cherokee Rose, a novel of gardens and ghosts. It's an amazing read, an enjoyable read. Certainly, I'd give it 5 stars out of 5 stars and strongly urge you to take a look. It is published by John Blair Publisher, and just something I think that you will be pleased with. Anyway, that is my book review. And wow, I don't believe it. Time has gone by that quickly. It's time for me to wind things up yet again. But, you know, thank you. 6 years? Do you believe it? I don't. Amazing. I want to thank many of you for being there all the time and for following me. I appreciate you all so much. Thank you all for really, giving me the encouragement to continue with the podcast. Sometimes I don't know if I really have listeners out there, but then I realize, yes, I do. And this is just an amazing community. Thank you. You are so appreciated. And I look forward to meeting many of you in 2 weeks. I hope to see some of you in Arkansas at the Arkansas Civil War Sesquicentennial Commission. Look forward to meeting some of you there. And can't wait to see some of you in California in about 2 months or so at the Southern California Genealogy Jamboree. In the meantime, oh my goodness, please remember to do what you do. And of course, you know what I'm going to say. Keep researching, everyone. Keep documenting. And always keep sharing what you find. Thank you so much for being listeners as I enter this 6th year. In the meantime, have a great week. Be well and be safe. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.